That was beautiful. I'm going to share with you a passage that generally we think of as a Christmas passage. And I figure if Lowe's and Walmart can start putting out Christmas things right now, then I can go ahead and share a passage that we generally think of Christmas. So if you will, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9. I'm going to read verse 2, and then I'm going to skip up to verses 6 through 7. You can read along with me. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning with verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And then in verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and holding and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Well, most of the time, yeah, that's right. Amen. That's good news. Just like what we were singing about, the coming of the Messiah. And I want to share with you the message about the Prince of Peace. Why is this name perfect for Jesus? Jesus was given many names, and this is one of many. This is one of even a couple that were mentioned at the same time here. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor. So he's been given many names, and this is one that we're going to talk about today of many. Before we get into that, I have a couple things I'd like to share with you. The first is this. What is this? A badge. What is also known as a shield. That's right. Who wears this shield? What is it, Caleb? An FBI. This one's actually a police officer badge. But so who wears the badge? The shield. A law enforcement officer carries a shield. So, have you ever thought of that? Put the two together. The law enforcement officer carries a shield. Obviously, it doesn't protect him very much unless he gets shot right there. But when I was sitting at the table and I asked Carrie and Landon what they think of when they think of a shield, and they said protection. So the first thing you think of is protection. Well, the police officer is there to protect the civilians, right? But what is it we generally say when it comes to police officers? He's there to keep the what? The peace. He's there to keep the peace. So a shield sometimes represents peace. Right? So we see this shield. Now I have another shield. Are you ready? Now when you see a shield like this, what do you think of? Captain America, okay, because it is a Captain America shield, all right? So a shield like this would be used. How would a shield like this be used? Protection, it's, what did you say? The army, okay. He was a super soldier. Defense. A shield like this is probably used in battle, right? And by the way, this is a very special shield because it's Captain America that's made out of a special metal and it cannot be destroyed. Somebody want to give it a shot? Actually, you can throw this one, but I won't. But it's actually a Frisbee and a shield. But yes, it's used in battle. Now, a shield can be, we can think of a shield as something that represents peace. But it's also something that is used in battle. So peace doesn't always mean quiet rest, does it? And now we have this passage. I mean, just think about Isaiah just a few chapters before this. In chapter 6, we know what Isaiah experienced, right? I mean, it was the year of Uzziah's death, and the Lord came to him. And things began to go crazy for him. It was like an earthquake, and he came into the presence of the Lord, and it was so overwhelming to him that he said this. He said, "Woe is me, I am ruined," meaning that just in the presence of God, I am as good as dead. So I don't think it was peace that Isaiah was experiencing at the moment that he was in the presence of the Lord. But at some point, after cleansing of Isaiah's tongue, he was able to peacefully say, answer the question, who will go? And Isaiah said, I will. I will go, because he had peace with the Father. So when he says this, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Today I want to walk through with you why that's such an appropriate name for Jesus. And then if we have a better understanding of why we call him Prince of Peace, maybe we can even pray in that name, O Prince of Peace. Not every day, but at the appropriate time. Pray in that name of Jesus. We should pray in the names of Jesus. As we understand the names of Jesus and why Scripture calls him so many different names, if we pray in the name of Jesus at the appropriate time and have a better understanding of who he is, maybe in this case we'll experience true peace. Maybe we can live out the name of Jesus. Maybe we can live out the Prince of Peace. If we have a better understanding of why this name is so appropriate for Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, then perhaps as we feed upon that and have a better understanding of that, then when we go out and live out in this world, we can live out in the name of the Prince of Peace. So that's my goal today. Let's just walk through this together. First, let's just kind of think about peace. Who doesn't long for peace? This world is often filled with conflict and strife, pain, illness, grief, death. I think the last time that I spoke was kind of a spontaneous message that the Lord had laid on my heart, and it was in response to the shooting that took place in Colorado during the Batman opening night of the new Batman movie. And today I come in the presence of the riots and war that's going on overseas when our embassies are being attacked and an ambassador has been murdered and soldiers have been murdered. So there's a lot of conflict and war and chaos in the world that we live in today. Yet, we've been promised a Prince of Peace who has come into the world. This world could use some peace. What about you? Could you use some peace? Have you suffered or felt pain of living in a fallen world lately? Health issues, financial issues, relationship issues, loneliness issues. It's a tough world, isn't it? I think all of us could relate to some type of pain in our lives that we've had to deal with, some type of struggle, strife that we've had to take on. Chances are you could use some peace in your life. just as I could use some peace in my life. Again, in a world filled with conflict and strife, who doesn't long for peace? Well, here's the deal. The Hebrew word for peace means more than just absent of conflict. Shalom, the word shalom, the Hebrew word for peace, shalom means a sense of tranquility and wholeness, of completion. To know shalom is to know or to enjoy health, satisfaction, success, safety, well-being, and prosperity. They would associate those characteristics to shalom. Isaiah speaks of the one who brings shalom to this world in the passage from Isaiah that we just read. And this is one of many prophecies of the coming Messiah given through Isaiah. This prophecy has been fulfilled in the coming of Jesus Christ. Perhaps, though, it is the prophecy that caused the Jewish leadership to reject Jesus as their Savior and King. Now, why would I say that? Well, when Jesus was born, Israel was in captivity of the powerful Roman Empire. They lived under the authority of the powerful Roman Empire, and they hated it. They were not in charge. This is not how it was supposed to be. The covenant with Abraham, the promise of favoritism from God, even things like this they heard, no weapon ever formed should prosper against them. When Jesus was born, peace to the Jews meant one that would come and lead them in earthly rule. The restoration of the glory days of the King David and King Solomon. Jesus just didn't fit the bill. I had trouble accepting Jesus as the Prince of Peace, the promised Prince of Peace. So why the Prince of Peace? Well, the Hebrew word for prince is sar. And the Hebrew word for peace, like I said, is shalom. And the title would be Sar Shalom. So if they were praying the name, this name of Jesus, it would be praying Sar Shalom. And Sar Shalom does not appear in the New Testament. The Prince of Peace does not appear in the New Testament. And the phrase Prince of Peace, obviously the Prince of Peace does appear in the New Testament, but the phrase, the terminology, Prince of Peace, does not appear in the New Testament in words. However, shortly after Jesus is born, we hear the angels proclaiming, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom His favor rests." So there's evidence of the Prince of Peace in the New Testament. Just don't hear the word, the phrase Sar Shalom or Prince of Peace. The New Testament demonstrates peace as more than absent of conflict. Just look in Mark's Gospel, in Mark chapter 5. We'll start reading with verse 30. This is when the sick woman came to Jesus. So Mark chapter 5, verse 30. At once Jesus realized that the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Go in peace. Go in my name and be freed from suffering. You see, this was more than just absent from conflict. This was complete healing. What this woman had experienced in her life was complete healing from her ailment. And Jesus' response to her was to go in peace. It's interesting that Jesus, in such a crowded place, and it was so important for Jesus to find out who had touched him. And it was very intentional so that he could tell her this one thing. Your faith has healed you. Now go in peace, free from suffering. Free from suffering. That is complete healing. So, the New Testament gives us a greater understanding of peace by revealing Jesus as the source of all peace. Here, in this passage in Mark, he's revealed as the source of all peace. Not only does he bring peace to the world, but he is the source of peace. Where do we go for peace? Where do we go for peace? We go to the source of peace. Now, interestingly enough, this shield, some people would say, of all the things that come to mind when you see a shield like this, whether it be Captain America, or battle, or violence, or a weapon, or protection, or very few people would say this shield reminds them of peace. See, that's what Jesus Christ, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is our shield. Peace is a shield. Behind the shield is peace. We experience peace behind the shield. On this side of the shield, no peace. On this side, things are attacking us on this side of the shield. On this side of the shield, peace. This side of the shield, no peace. He doesn't just bring peace. He is the source of peace. So we find peace in Him. We can't seek peace anywhere else. We can't come up with peace anywhere else. We can try to mend relationships. We can try to do this. We can try to do that. But until we go to the source of peace, we're not going to experience true peace. And it's not going to be eternal. We may temporarily fix things in our life, but temporarily is no good. Temporary is temporary. So, Jesus is the source of all peace, and when God's kingdom is fully established, all strife will cease. We've sung about that this morning. Sing songs in regard to the coming days of when Jesus returns and God's kingdom is when it is fully established, all strife will cease, and His church will enjoy the completeness and fullness of His peace forever. Perfect contentment. Do I need to take this off? Okay. It might not be as distracting you as it is to me. So I don't know why I just picked this up. I love having this here, but I didn't mean to do that. But peace is forever. It's perfect contentment, and it is forever. So we know of this, the promised second. So the world has already experienced the first coming of Jesus Christ, the prophecy that Isaiah spoke here. And then there's a promise of a second coming of Jesus Christ. And that is a perfect contentment. It comes with that promise. But what about now? Can we have peace today? And the answer is amen, yes. If that meant yes, then yes. Amen, yes, we can have peace today. Look at Ephesians 2, 14 through 18. Mind you that when Paul wrote this, chains were on his hands. Ephesians chapter 2, 14 through 18. For he himself is our what? For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this, one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. We don't just have this coming promise of peace. You know, one day things, everything will be white. You know, that was my first impression of heaven. Was not very impressive, actually, because I thought everything would be white. Everybody would wear white clothes. And I don't know, it would be all floating on clouds or something. So it wasn't very exciting. But whatever, you know, our idea of peace is, think about this. And one person described it this way, is that if you're just submerged underwater and that sound and everything, I guess if the shark's there, it's not. But if you're underwater, that sound that you get underwater, you know, it is just a different sound. And somebody related that to peace. Me, I go with a shield, and I'm behind the shield, and that's peace. So whatever you relate the shield or the peace to, then that, put yourself there. Just know that we need to go to Scripture and have a better understanding of peace. All right? Because we'll think about heaven and all those kind of things, and we'll get it wrong. You're going to be amazed when you get to heaven. All right? You're going to be blown away. And we're not going to be able to come up with, except for what the Bible provides us about peace. All right, so we have access to the Father today, according to Paul's writing here. He was in chains when he wrote this. We have access to the Father today. All hell may be coming down around us today. Do you ever feel like that? But we have the Prince of Peace. He is our refuge. He is our comforter. He is where we go for peace, everlasting peace. So what is it for you? What is it for me? What is that peace? It is going to be perfect health. What comes against our peace sometimes is health. Comes against our peace, relationships come against our peace, finances come against our peace, politics come against that. We do not feel peace a lot of times when it comes to health. We do not feel peace sometimes when it comes to relationships. We do not feel peace when it comes to finances. We do not feel peace when it comes to politics. However, by drawing close to Him, we experience His peace. He is a shield of security. Paul was in prison. I think his conditions were probably worse than ours today. Whatever you're going through right now in life, let's just take a look at Paul's life in prison. Let's see. For starters, he was generally chained. I guess that's a bummer. It gets worse. The skin was removed from his back. Yeah, that's pretty bad. He was beaten. Yep. I think Paul had it worse than I do. I think Paul had it worse than you do. I want to be sympathetic with you now, but at the same time, let's be real. Paul was suffering. Paul was crippled. And I don't think what he was going through in life felt like peace. But yet in prison, he was able to pen this letter. Yet in prison, he was able to sing to the Lord. He wasn't crying. And when he prayed, you know what he prayed for? He didn't pray to be released. He didn't pray that the beating stopped. He prayed that the gospel would be heard. Because you know where he found peace? In the Prince of Peace. He didn't find peace in his circumstances. He didn't find peace in his condition. He didn't find peace in his relationships with one another. He didn't find peace in whether he got what he wanted. He found peace in the Prince of Peace. So with skin removed from his back, with chains shackled to his hands and feet, and living underground in a nasty old cellar, he was able to pen those words that we just read in Ephesians. And many more words like that. He was able to sing God's praise. He was able to pray for the distribution of God's Word, that God's Word be permeated throughout the world while he was in prison, and because he was in prison. See, we have an awesome God who knows exactly what we need. I mean, if he can dress, if he can take care of the birds in the air, if he can dress the fields, then certainly he can take care of his most precious, that's right, his most precious creation. Can you imagine when God created mankind on that sixth day? What it must have been like for Satan? Because, you know, Satan thought he was all that, a bag of pork rinds. So. He was a reflection of God. He was the worship leader. God creates human beings. Satan might be there by his side. I don't know exactly what it was like, obviously, but maybe Satan, since he was, you know, God's right hand man, was right there. Wow, that's cool. That's nice. You know, creates the trees and takes stuff in the trees. Oh, cool. What's that? That's man. His mind. So Satan here to bring chaos into what is into the lives of what is not his, what does not belong to him. Whereas Jesus is going to bring peace in your life. It's not peace like a lot of times what we think about peace, absent of conflict and things like that. Remember, it's a shield. So he is going to protect us. Yes. But it's trusting in him and knowing that he has a perfect will for our life, a perfect meaning for your life. Your existence, he created for himself and for his glory, that only you can worship him in such a unique way that he recognizes your worship specifically to him. Isn't that cool? That even though we come in here and we sing these songs, a lot of times we associate that to worship, that when we sing these songs and stuff together, really and truly what it boils down to is each one of us can only worship God in the unique way that he designed us to worship him. And he recognizes that worship from you. Like I said, Paul was in prison. I think his conditions might have been far worse than ours. But knowing the Prince of Peace, he was able to pen those words. Look at Philippians. Philippians 4:7. Philippians 4:7. Do we ever get to this in our lives, Lord? You just don't understand. I love the song that Rebecca was singing about the things that we pray for in our life. And ultimately we're praying for peace, aren't we, Rebecca? We're praying for peace. We're praying that people will understand us. We're praying that our conditions will be better. We're praying that for peace. And then Paul writes these words here. It says, and the peace of God, this is Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, think about this. Now, when we trust Jesus, remember the men came to Jesus in John chapter 6, verses 27 through 29. They came to Jesus and they said, what is it that God requires of us? And Jesus' response to them was, this is what God requires of you, to believe in the one He sent. Well, this is right belief. It's not just believing in His existence, to believe that He exists, but to believe, it's righteous belief. It's right belief. Belief that leads you to follow Him and obey Him and to pursue Jesus Christ. It's that kind of belief. So, transition to the Prince of Peace. So I'm putting to believe in the one He sent. Well, one of the names of the one that He sent is Prince of Peace. So I'm putting my faith in the Prince of Peace. This is where I'm going to find peace. I'm not going to find peace in my circumstances. I'm not going to find peace in my situations. I'm not going to find peace in finding people that will agree with me. I'm going to find peace in the Prince of Peace. And when I pursue that, He will set my mind straight. See that? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. By the way, your mind is the greatest manipulator in your life. Your mind will convince you to do things and convince you to believe things and convince you to say things and convince you that you're right. So if I want my mind to be in peace with God, then I need to search out the Prince of Peace. And the peace of God, the Prince of Peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The shield comes into play again. The shield, my mind. So on the outside, things crashing against it. But on the inside, because I'm protected by the Prince of Peace, He will guard my mind. It's not sounding like a Christmas message, is it? Well, there's no doubt that the Prince of Peace is here now and yet still coming. You can experience the Prince of Peace today. Okay? Because He is here now. He has come into this world. And by His Spirit, we can experience His presence with us today. Yet, here's a cool thing, is He is still coming. Turn to Revelation 21:3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old or of things has. I'm sorry, I've got a shadow here. All right, verse number 4. He will wipe away every tear from your eyes. There will be no more death, mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. The old order of things has passed away. So we get to experience the things that we were singing about. Oh, that glorious day. I'll fly away, oh glory. I can't wait. That's going to be fun. I wonder if I got a flag. So the Prince of Peace is here today, yet the Prince of Peace is still coming. We have not arrived. He's not finished with this church. But don't you long for his coming? Don't you long for his coming? When there will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering, and there's a new order that is in place. I'll finish with this plea. Receive the Prince of Peace today. And long for his return. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you.